Tuesday. Now. I'm woken by a shrill crackling noise that takes me from dozing to dazed wakefulness in the blink of an eye. As I sit up and bat the sleep out of my eyes, I see Tona reach out and turn off the radio. The crackling immediately disappears, replaced by the dull hum of the engine and the pent-up silence of the van. "What was that?" I ask, running my fingers through my hair. "The radio's been acting up for a few miles," Tona says. "It jumped from dad rock to dance band, and then it just started crackling." "Must be the start of the dead zone," I say, feeling a fizz of excitement in my belly. I take my phone out of my pocket, realizing as I do that it's much later than I'd thought. "I still have signal, but only just," I say. "I'll post one last update before we lose it completely." I log into Instagram and take a quick shot of the sun-drenched evening road ahead. "How does this sound?" I ask. "Getting closer!" Exclamation point. "Almost inside the dead zone. See you in 5 days if the ghosts don't get us, ... Tona grimaces. "Might be a bit much," she says. "They're gonna love it," I say, clicking post. Then, after checking that it has shared to both Twitter and Facebook, I put the phone back in my pocket. "Our fans eat that stuff up," I go on. "Ghosts and horror films and shit. It's our best unique selling proposition." "Our fans," Tona quips. "All 11 of them." I roll my eyes, but can't deny that it hurts. The joke cuts a little too close to the bone. Tona doesn't notice. Her eyes are still fixed on the road. It's empty and anonymous, a flat highway with neither bends nor turnoffs. Tall, impenetrable conifers enclose us on either side, and to our left, the blazing sun drifts deeper into a bleeding sky that bathes us and the forest in its hue. "The exit should be pretty soon," she says. "We're starting to get close."
"Would you like me to take over?" I ask.
I didn't mean to fall asleep. I don't know what happened. Tona gives a tight, closed-mouthed smile. "If you were up till 4 a.m. going through everything, then it isn't such a surprise," she says, without answering my question about taking over at the wheel. I can't tell if she means it as a dig or not.
"No,"
I agree.
"I guess not."
Still, I am surprised. I'd thought that same tingling, feverish excitement that has kept me up the past few nights would prevent me from falling asleep here, too. I cast a glance in the wing mirror and see the other white van that Emmy and the technician are driving immediately behind us. Max's blue Volvo is just visible at the back of the caravan. Is that excitement or anxiety I feel squirming inside me? The intense light stains my white cable-knit sweater a fiery red and throws Tona's face into a sharp silhouette. She's one of those people who's more beautiful in profile than front-on, with her enviably chiseled jawline and straight patrician nose. I've never seen her wearing any makeup, which makes me feel both ridiculous and exceptionally vain, especially as I've just had highlights put in to turn my naturally matte wastewater hair into a cold, lustrous blonde. This despite it costing almost 900 kroner that I don't have, not to mention the fact that I'm not even going to be in any of the footage we're shooting over the next 5 days. I did it for me, to settle my nerves. And we do need photos, I guess, for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and the blog, to give our few but enthusiastic fans and backers something to whet their appetites, keep that fire burning. I have a musty taste in my mouth after my nap. Eyeing up the plastic cup Tuna got at the gas station in the cup holder, I ask, "What's in there?"
"Coke. Have some if you want," she says, adding that it's zero before I can even ask.
I pick up the cup and take a few big gulps of the flat, tepid drink. It's not particularly refreshing, but I'm thirstier than I thought.
"There," says Tuna suddenly, and slows down.
The old exit doesn't exist on GPS, as we discovered when trying to plan our route. We've had to use old maps from the 40s and 50s, cross-referencing them with the Swedish Transport Administration's archive on where the train tracks used to run when trains still puffed their way up to the village twice a week. Max is good with maps, and he guaranteed us that this was where the road would be. But it's only now, as Tuna slows to a crawl to take the narrow, almost completely overgrown exit that was once the only road to the village, that I start to feel sure. The van coasts along for a while, and then comes to a halt. I look at Tuna.